And I'm going to deal with these first three verses if God will help me. Philippians 3. I'm going to talk about the true church and the true believer. People who are true Jews. True Jews. You believe you're a true Jew? I am. I'm going to prove it to you. Prove to you by the Bible. Look what the apostle said. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you and me is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision. Now this is my subject, right? We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now the Philippians were Gentiles, people like us. And he said, we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. And what the apostle is saying is, we're the true preachers of God, the true children of God, the true worshipers of God. Now you keep this and look in Romans with me, chapter 2 and verse 28. Hold on to Philippians now. Let me show you something over here. Is Paul just using idle talk? Is that just idle talk that we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh? But look what he said in verse 28. And he's writing to the Romans. They're a bunch of Gentiles too. People like us. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Listen to this now. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, not in the law. Because if it was in the letter, it would be men would praise themselves and praise men who talked them into it. But this praise is of God. God done this. He circumcised our heart, gave us new hearts, took out the stony heart. So back over here in Philippians 3. When the apostle says here that we're the true worshipers of God, the true children of God, is this idle talk? All religions and all religionists claim to be true preachers. They claim to be the true church, the true worshipers of God. So why should we believe the Apostle Paul here, who wrote this? Well, first, as he wrote under divine inspiration, he wrote blessed of God. He was inspired to write this. All scriptures from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, 21. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Another reason why we believe him is because he is a chosen vessel of God. God chose him to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. Not the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And Gentiles was anybody who wasn't a Jew. And that's why I say we're the true Jews now. And he knew something about false religion. Paul, you see, he was in double darkness. And this is the thing. Men that they're born in darkness when they're born of Adam. When they come into this world, they're born in darkness. They'll live in darkness. And then if they make a false profession, then they're in double darkness. They're in the darkness of Adam, naturally. And then they're in the darkness of religion. That's why our Lord said, if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? And it's an awful thing. Paul knew what it was to be a lost religionist. He knew what it was to be a lost without God, without hope. Look what he said down here in verse, talking about trusting in the flesh. Trusting in his old fallen nature. He said, I circumcised the eighth day. All Jews were circumcised on the eighth day. Our Lord Jesus Christ was. of the stock of Israel. That's because you're in the covenant of Abraham. And then not only was I was of the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe. God said that's the tribe of His right hand. A Hebrew of Hebrews. I was no half-breed. I was a solid blood Jew. I could trace my genealogy all the way back to Benjamin. The baby in of Jacob. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. And we know how the Pharisees felt about our Lord Jesus Christ. They hated Him. They despised Him. They lied on Him. They sought ways to kill Him. And Paul was just in the bunch just like everybody else was. He is a Pharisee. Concerning zeal. Oh, I had the greatest zeal. You're talking about zeal. You think you've ever know what zeal is? I was persecuting the church. I held many men and women and children to jail, he said. Touching the righteousness within the law, oh boy, when I looked at the law, I said, I was blameless. I was like that rich young ruler. You know, I've kept all these from my youth up. What lack I yet? Well, Paul said, this is what I lacked. He said, but what things were gained to me? Being a Hebrew, being circumcised, being of the tribe of Benjamin, being a Pharisee, having a righteousness of the law, all those things that made me appear to be somebody, they're nothing. I count them loss. They're losses to me for Christ. I put it all behind me. And I tell you what, beloved, he knew what it was to be a lost religionist. Some knew something about it before he was apprehended of the Lord Jesus Christ and brought to saving faith. And in this chapter, he tells us about his religion before he was converted. And that's what I just read to you. He was strong. Look over here in Galatians chapter 1. Go to your left till you get to Galatians chapter 1. Look what he said about himself over here. God saved him. God saved him. He didn't accept Jesus. God didn't ask him to let him into his heart. He didn't knock on his heart's door. He didn't say, please, would you accept me? No, no, that's not the way it was. Look what he said here in verse 13. Verse 13. If you have heard of my conversation, that conversation means manner of life, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, you couldn't measure how I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But now listen to this. But when it pleased God, but when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and call me by His grace. And God saved him. Now he knew something about false religion and true religion. And look what he says here. Let's start in verse 1 and go down through this in Philippians. Finally, my brethren, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And what he's saying is, give God the glory for everything. You can't rejoice in anything we've done, but we can rejoice in the Lord. It can be dark, but we can rejoice in the Lord. We can be in trials, but we can rejoice in the Lord. And what he's saying, give God all the glory for everything that's done. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Father. God the Father, for His electing love, for His eternal grace, for His eternal love. Rejoice in the Father, because He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Rejoice in the blessed Son of God. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave Himself for us to redeem us from all our iniquities. Called us unto Himself. Gave to us in the covenant of redemption. And He came down here and shed His blood. Poured out His blood to offer himself a sacrifice to God, to pay our sin debt that we couldn't pay. We could not pay for what we couldn't pay for, not one sin we've ever committed. We couldn't suffer enough for one sin we ever did. And people seem to think that God, when you live, don't live as good as you ought to live, that what He'll do is He'll purge you from your sins before you die. No, 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 no. He by Himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of God. He can't purge you from your sins. You'll suffer because of Adam's sin. You'll suffer because of your flesh. But you'll never suffer because Christ died for you, for your sin. I'll tell you that. And I tell you, said, and rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Because He's the one who came and revealed, made Christ known to us, revealed Him to us, made us aware of Him, conscious of Him, brought the light and turned it on in our heart and soul. And that's why the apostle said, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Huh? And I tell you, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know what the first blessing He talks about? According as He hath chosen us. That's the first blessing. Election. Election. That's the first blessing. Election. Second one, that you should be holy. Third one, without blame. Fourth one, accepted in the Beloved. Fifth one is to praise of the glory of His grace. Oh, bless His name. And He said that back here, it's, to write the same things to you is not grievous to me. I'm not tired of writing the same things to you over and over and over, saying the same things to you. Why? Because it's safe for you. It's good for you. It keeps you in safety. Well, what's it safe for you? Well, it strengthens your faith to write the same things. Scott Richardson used to say the secret to teaching, and people learn anything, repetition, repetition, repetition. Huh? And do you want me to say something different? No. It's just safe because it'll strengthen your faith. It's the one what comforts you in your troubles, in your tribulations, in your trials. And it's safe for you because it'll keep you from error. It'll keep you from going after things that you ought not go after. And then look what he said, it'll keep you safe from dogs. Beware of dogs. That's what he called these fellows that was preachers. That's what he called these people that brought works. That's what I call these people who trust in their flesh. Dogs. Beware of dogs. Somebody told me the other day, said that when they can't even go out and walk because dogs come out after them all the time. Beware of dogs. You'll pull out in somebody's yard, beware of the dog. That's what Paul says. You beware of these dogs. They bite. They want to devour. They want to hurt you. They want to nip at your heels. I've had dogs come out on me before, and you know what I always do? I run right back at them. I go, ah! And they run right back in their yard. Me and Todd come up on a couple of, what do they call them, pit bulls? In Cherokee one time, we was out running, couple pit bulls come out of us, Todd said, what are we going to do? And I said, That's what you do. That's what's safe. That's what we're talking about, safe. Yeah, go back after them dogs. Don't let them dogs come after you. That's why it's safe for you. And then he says, and evil workers. Evil workers. Oh my. There's so many evil workers in this world. And then he says, beware of the concision. And he warns us to beware of false preachers who glory in the flesh. They glory in your flesh and in their flesh. And I show you what I'm talking about when I say that. That's why, look over here in Galatians. You keep Philippians now. Look back over in Galatians chapter 6. You know, they glory in their flesh. These false preachers want to glory in the flesh. And they make dumb statements, stupid statements. Show you what evil workers they say. Some of the evil things and how they bark and all the evil things they put out. A man put out on his bulletin board, "God loves you whether you like it or not." That's a dog barking. That's a dog barking. A sorry dog. An evil dog. Mangy dog. And then on the other side of it, even mosquitoes know the power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Evil. Error. Dog. Sorry dog. Evil dog. You shall not talk about people. That's what Paul's calling them. Didn't he? Look what he said here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12. This is what we're talking about. "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, to let them know how good they are and what they're accomplishing, they constrain you to be circumcised. Come on over here and you join our church and it'll make you clean. It'll straighten out your life. It'll make you holy." And the only reason they do that is they don't want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They don't want to suffer persecution to say that there's only one way in this world that God will ever accept you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And this is what he says, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised, law keepers, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." I won that fellow to Jesus. Do you know that? I got that. I made a Calvinist out of that fellow. I changed that man's mind, and I tell you, I didn't think I'd ever get it changed, but I changed it. And they say, "Oh boy, look what I've done for Jesus." But oh, listen to what Paul says. "God forbid that I should glory, save except only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Because there's three people crucified. Christ crucified, the world is crucified unto me, it's dead unto me, and I'm dead unto the world. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." But here's what avails. A new creature. A new creature. That's what he's talking about here. So we go back over here in Philippians. And Paul said, "It's safe for you." I want to see the same thing over and over. Then he goes here in verse 3. He says, "We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." He's saying what he's saying is, we're the true ministers of God. We're the true children of God. We're the true church of Jesus Christ. We're the true circumcision. We're the true church. And he gave us three marks of the true believer. First, we worship God in the Spirit. Secondly, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, we have no confidence in the flesh. All right, look here. We worship God in the Spirit. You know, this flesh is such a hindrance to us when we come to worship God. Yeah. It's in our hearts to come here and give our full attention and our hearts and our ears to hear the gospel. But I tell you, we worship God in the Spirit. Look in John chapter 4 with me. Let's go over here and look at this together. John chapter 4, talking about worship. Talking about worship. John chapter 4. You know the story about the woman at the well when our Lord Jesus Christ went over there and was talking to her. And he saved her by his blessed grace. But he went to this woman at the well. And look what she said. Our Lord Jesus is talking to her. And she said here in verse 20. John 4:20. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." Our fathers, there's a mountain there. our fathers worshipped in this mountain. But you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So there's two places here she said talking about worship. And that's what most folks think worship is. It's just going to a certain place. If I can get to that place, I can worship. But look what she said now. Our Lord said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you don't know what. You don't know what you're worshiping. When you go up on that mountain, you just go up there because it's the place they told you to go. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew." Now watch it now. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Now what does that mean, seeketh such? Does that mean He's out here looking for folks who's getting their heart right, getting their spirit right? No, no. It says, just like He came to seek and save that which is lost, the Father seeks people. And then He gives them the Spirit, and He gives them the truth, and they worship Him. He seeks people that'll worship Him. And He makes them come to know what it is to worship Him. God is Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so I tell you what, she talked about, oh, well, listen, we got this mountain to worship in. She's trusting in her heritage. Our fathers said, this is where they worshiped. They trusted in their traditions, in their customs. He said, "And listen, our father, are you greater than our father Jacob?" No, listen. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ told her in plain, plain things, there's no place for ceremonies, fleshly and holy days. Our Lord said, the Father seeketh such. You see, true worship comes from here. True worship comes from here. True worship does. Faith is a thing of the heart. To call on God is something of the heart. And I tell you what, that's why our Lord Jesus, you know, when they went to anoint David, He said, God looks on the heart. Nothing. Not a man on this earth impresses God. One man ever impressed Him. That was His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And people associate worship with special days. Easter, Christmas. Come to watch somebody get baptized. Come to watch somebody do something, get involved in something. Putting on robes. Oh boy, watch that boy, our preacher wears robes. He sure seems holy. Oh, let's go burn some candles. Let's put some crosses on our cars. Put some crosses on our walls. When I know a girl that she's scared of Dracula. What do they call those vampires? She got her a cross and hung over her bed that glowed in the dark to keep vampires away. Somebody told them that's all you need, and then they say, "Well, if you use garlic, that'll work too." That's how ignorant people are, huh? And you got to have pictures. You ain't got pictures of Jesus, you ain't got nothing. Oh, you got to have a picture of Him with the light coming down on Him. You got to have a picture of Him bowed down in the garden, and you got to have a picture of Him with a lamb. And then you got to have a picture of Him with a great old big heart. Ah, let's get us some lapel pins. Let's put it. I'm a Christian. Let's all get up and give testimonies. They talk about going to holy places, like this pulpit here is a holy place. It's no more holier than out there in the foyer. They talk about going to the Holy Land. What's a holy land? I'll tell you what's going to be a holy land one of these days. When God makes a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, then every foot of it's going to be holy then. Because there ain't going to be no sin there. Huh? And God said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where's the house you going to build me? Huh? Paul said, you whom you ignorantly worship, God don't need anything. He's not worshipped with the hands of men and with silver and gold. Seeing He gives to all life. Why you don't give God for life? He gives to all breath. He has to give to us. Oh, God's not impressed or cares about our shows of religion. Be still and know that I am God. And when you enter into His presence, don't be rash with your mouth. Walk softly when you come into His presence. See, true worship is from the heart. It's of the Spirit of God. True worshipers, let me tell you something about true worshipers. They worship God privately. They don't wait till they get in a service like this to worship God. They worship privately in their homes. Wherever they may be. They may walk around in the yard talking to God, worshiping God, calling on God. A woman can have her mind on Christ while she's worshiping her dishes. Huh? And then they give thanksgiving and they worship Him privately. In prayer and thanksgiving. And then they come and worship Him publicly with other believers. And they do it in such simplicity. Such simplicity. And whether it's public or it's private, worship is of the heart. And if we could say there's parts of worship, let me tell you what they would be. Sing some hymns. Scriptural hymns. God-honoring hymns. Reading the Word of God. Prayer. And then preaching. That don't give no opportunity for flesh to get involved, does it? So the first mark of the true church is they worship God in the Spirit. Look at the second mark over here. In Philippians 3. I love this one. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Oh, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? We're in tune with heaven. We're all on the same page. We're on the same page, if I can say it in our vernacular, we're on the same page as God is. You know what God says about His Son? This is my beloved Son. In whom I'm well pleased. What do we say? This is our beloved Savior. This is our beloved Redeemer. This is our beloved sacrifice. Oh, bless His holy name. Huh? Oh my. The Father. I tell you, we believe like the Father says. He's our beloved. And whether I am my beloved and He is mine. And then we rejoice in the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because He says He shall take the things of mine and show them unto you. Huh? How do we going to know anything about Christ if the Holy Spirit don't take and show us them? And He shall take the things of mine and show them unto you. I'll tell you what, you can tell what a preacher's preaching whether he's taking the Holy Spirit's taking the things of Christ and showing them unto you. And I tell you, we're in tune with the angels. To which of the angels did He say, sit at my right hand, but they all worship Him. Huh? The redeemed in heaven. They sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open it, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by Thy blood. That's what they sang about in heaven. And we're in tune with the prophets. To Him. To Him. All the prophets give witness. Oh. I tell you, beloved, we rejoice in Christ Jesus because that's what the Bible teaches us. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit taught us that. And I tell you, the true believer does not rejoice in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You go rejoice in your prayer life? You go rejoice in your giving? Are you going to rejoice in your devotion? Are you going to rejoice in all your Bible reading? Not under any circumstances. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because we know that He is all. Christ is all and in all. You know, look, turn to your right, Colossians chapter 2. Right over one couple of pages over to your right. Keep Philippians now there, because we're going to go right back. They know that He is all. They know that He is all. Look what it says here in verse 9 of Colossians chapter 2. In verse 9. For in Him, you notice what it says in Him? All the time you're talking about Him. Dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Whatever God was and God is, He dwelt in the body of Christ. All that God is. And look what He says. And you are complete in Him. That word complete means perfect. You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. You can't get more complete. You know, if you're complete, you can't have nothing else. And that's why He said God made Him unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You see, He doesn't just give us a righteousness. He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And those rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have reason to rejoice in Him. Oh, what a glorious reason to rejoice in Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. He was more than a man. He was God. He was God before He came here. And then when He came here, He became a man. Once He became a man, He was always God. But once He became a man, He'll always be a man. But He's a sinless man. Perfect man. Holy man. And oh my. Rejoice in His Godhead. He said, our Lord said this, Thou hast given Him power. Who did? God did. Over all flesh. That He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And I tell you, we rejoice in His obedience. You know, if a person's going to be saved by their obedience, it has to be perfect. You have to obey perfectly. It must be perfect to be accepted. And our Lord Jesus Christ, through one man's obedience, made many righteous. Huh? His obedience. And then we rejoice in His death. Rejoice in His death and His satisfaction. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He died, He actually accomplished something by that death. He didn't just open a door to make salvation possible. He didn't just open a door in a way to make men, to give them a chance and to make salvation possible. No, no, in His death, the Scripture says He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And He made His soul an offering for sin. Now, I tell you, whoever He made His soul an offering for sin, whoever's iniquities He bore, whoever He is wounded for, whoever sin He bore, I tell you this right now, He put them all away. Amen. And I know this, that if He died for you, you will one day believe on Him. Now, ain't that right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's why we're not on a fool's errand here. Like Brother Henry said, we're on the trail of God's sheep. And maybe there's some sheep in here this morning. Who here? Who here? We rejoice in His resurrection. Oh my. You know, our resurrection depends on His resurrection. If He was raised again and sits at the right hand of God, that means that we shall be raised again. We're already seated with Him in heavenly places, and it talks about our glorification in the past tense. So it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. And oh, we rejoice in the fact that He prays for us and intercedes for us. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. And I tell you something, I'm really rejoicing in. And I'm looking so forward to it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And when we see Him, we'll see Him as He is. And we shall be made just like Him. He's coming. He's coming. So true worshipers, they rejoice in Christ. In Christ alone. Huh? And then let me give you this one. This is the hardest one right here. This is the hardest one for folks to have to deal with. Worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and here's the hardest one. Have no confidence in the flesh. It's hard to give up that flesh. It's hard to give up them accomplishments. It's hard to give up our religion. It's hard to give up our professions. But I tell you what, God's people have no confidence in this old flesh, our fallen nature. We have no confidence in. What is our flesh? Let me ask you a question. What is our flesh? What is our fallen nature? What has this body ever contributed to our salvation? What ceremony have we ever done that's contributed to our salvation? What ritual have we ever been involved in that attributed to our salvation? We have no confidence in the flesh. And no ceremonies, keeping of the law, circumcision, fasting, mortifying the body, holy days. Ash Wednesday. You ever see these folks running around with ashes on their head? I wonder where they get their ashes at. I guess they go to a store and buy them. I know they ain't going to build no fire and wait till the ashes get down there and stick their finger in it and put it up there. I guess they go to a store and buy that stuff. They buy holy water. Not the world's holy water. Is it any different than this water? This is holy water. I'm going to take the top off of it and drink it. Just to aggravate them. That would aggravate them, wouldn't it? Oh, this is holy oil. Let's just take a top out. Let's just dump it out. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled every law, every ceremony, every ritual, every sacrifice. He fulfilled them all. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, not to him that does, but him that believes. And I believe. And we have no confidence in the efforts of the flesh for us to keep certain rules or certain regulations. You know, it's a sad, sad thing preachers lay down rules and lay down regulations. I know what I'm talking about because I did it years ago. I preached against women wearing pants, wearing great big earrings, preached against men having long hair, women having short hair. And listen, God have mercy on me that I ever did that. It never helped anybody in any way. Just made Pharisees out of all of us. That's all it did, wasn't it? Just made Pharisees out of us. Oh my. Look over here in Colossians. Let me show you. You know, everything that you can touch, you know, any ceremony that you have, anything that you can touch, anything that you can taste, is going to perish with the using. That's what you got to understand. Now, wouldn't it be something if I got up here and I said, now these are the rules of this church. You got to do this. You got to do this other thing. I know preachers that they can't even buy. I know church members that I've talked to church members. They couldn't even buy a dog till they went and talked to the preacher. Yeah. Couldn't even buy a dog. Preacher, I won't buy this certain dog. Say, well, if you got the money for it, you won't take any way for money from the church, will it? That's the first thing they won't know. Say, you ain't going to spend money on a dog and let the church go on. So, but look what it said here in verse 20, Colossians 2:20. Now listen, I love this. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, and we're dead with Christ, we died with Him. When He died, we died. When He was buried, we was buried. When He rose, we rose with Him. From the rudiments or elements that's in this world, things that are in this world. And then why, as though living in the world, are you subject to different ordinances? People telling you, now don't touch this, don't taste that, and don't handle that. Don't smoke, don't chew, and don't run with those who do. That's what they're talking about. Oh, don't touch that. That's unclean. Don't you taste that. Don't you dare taste that. Oh, that'll ruin you. That'll ruin you. And don't you handle that thing over there. That's so sinful. Now what he said, if you can touch it, taste it, or handle it, he watched what he said in the next verse, which all are to perish with the using. If you can touch it, you can taste it, you can handle it. Gonna go. Gonna perish. And that's just the doctrines of men. Huh? So we don't have any confession. You know, and God said this back over here in our text. I gotta hurry. I'll finish up here. Job said it like this. He putteth no trust in his saints, nor in the angels. Much less man who drinks iniquity like water. Man at his best estate is altogether vanity. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we have no confidence in popes, bishops, right reverends. Woman called the other day, left a message on the phone, told me her name, said, I want to tell you about my husband and our ministry. Said, he's a bishop in the church of God. We're songwriters. And we're looking forward for you calling us and letting us tell you about our ministry. We have no confidence in popes, in bishops, right reverends, fathers, priests, monks, preachers, or any man or so-and-so who happens to think he's something. Leaders come and leaders go. The Apostle Paul said here in Philippians 4, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready. Time for me to leave here. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And henceforth, ready to go. Leaders come and leaders go. But Christ always abides. Things change. But Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And that's why we have no confidence in our flesh. Oh my, Paul said, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. No, Christ loved me and gave himself for me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is the true church. We worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and absolutely have no confidence in the flesh. You reckon you're a believer? You reckon you're a believer? Our Father, the blessed, blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your blessed truth. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And God bless this word. Bless it to the heart. May it be seed sown in good soil. May it be seed sown in a heart that will bring forth fruit to your glory, to your glory, your honor. God bless these dear souls, these ladies as they gather this afternoon for this shower. And Lord, forgive us, O God, of everything that's unlike you. Help us to love you, to love one another, and most of all, keep us believing and cleaving to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me find this. 52. The same majestic sweetness. 52.